Well, this morning I want to talk about something that's not easy to talk about, really. It's one of the saddest stories in the Bible, and it's almost hard. It's hard to read it, go through it, but there's some tremendous lessons there for us that I think we need. You know, last week we had such an awesome move of the Holy Spirit, and God touching lives and ministering to people around these altars. And it's so refreshing when the Lord moves in with that fresh wind and He comes in and He touches us. And sometimes, though, I think we fall victim of being familiar with a thing and so familiar with it that we sometimes take it for granted. I was talking with someone the other day who was away from our church for an extended period of time. And he come back and he said, Glenn, while I was gone, he said, I just so missed the anointing. And I think when we're here every week and we are exposed to it, that we sometimes get so familiar with it and so comfortable with it that we take it for granted. There's an old saying that familiarity breeds contempt. And there's a tremendous amount of truth in that statement. And when we get so comfortable with something and so familiar with something that we don't realize what we are in the middle of. Now, I was thinking about what God did last week. We were in the middle of something awesome. God was moving in such an awesome way. And when that is happening, we need to be understanding and appreciating what God is doing. And we need to be grasping the moment. We don't need to be just sitting by and just, oh, okay, God's moving today. Folks. God is moving. God is moving. That's reason for me to get engaged and not just, nah, you know, well, or you know, or, well, we had a good service today, you know, just kind of shrug it off. And that is the danger, I think, of getting so familiar with something that a contempt develops and a cynicism kind of gets in our life. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to read a couple of scriptures. I want to read out of Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7. I don't have it on the screen behind me, but we'll do it the old-fashioned way this morning. If you have a Bible, you can actually turn to it. That's good. Maybe we use our Bibles every once in a while. We've gotten so digital with everything. But Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7 says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. Now listen to this next statement. When Moses died, his eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Now I want to read that again. When Moses died, look at this, his eyes were not dim, and his natural vigor was not diminished. Moses was healthy. Do you see that? When he died. Moses wasn't old and feeble and sick. Moses died of something else. Moses died of a broken heart. And I want to show you why his heart was broken. And it's kind of a sad story because Moses was a great man. If you move over to verse 10, it says, But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There hasn't been a prophet. Jesus even said this, that there wasn't a prophet like Moses, that God knew him face to face, that he had that kind of relationship with him. And yet, if we turn over, if we flip back to Numbers, which is right after the book of Exodus, the third book of your Bible, Numbers chapter 20. Let's look at this verse. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, you rebels. Sound like a man who's got a heart problem? Moses has got a heart problem. Moses is burned out, fed up, cynical, and contemptuous. He says, Listen to me, you bunch of rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Am I going to have to bring water? Listen to what he's saying. Am I going to have to bring water out of this rock again for you guys? That sounds like a fed up, burned out pastor. That's what it sounds like. And then Moses lifted his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly. Water came out because God is faithful. And the congregation and their animals drank. But then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you didn't believe me? And he's saying, and I'm not reading the whole story here, because you didn't do what I told you to do. Because you didn't believe me, because you didn't do what I told you to do, to hallow me, to respect me, to honor me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, you will not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you, God, for your word. There are tremendous lessons for us to learn this morning, and I just pray that you'd help us learn them. And I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. I believe God wants to do extraordinary things. And I believe God wants to move his glory upon us in extraordinary ways. But we can't just, we have to be filled with anticipation and eagerness. We cannot just shrug it off. We can't just treat it like it's just like an everyday thing. We've got to start treating this because it is sacred. And we should honor it. The things of God are sacred. They should be honored. They should be longed for, you know? When God is moving in our midst, that's an extraordinary thing. But if we get contemptible, if we get cynical, if we just get ho-hum, we get comfortable, so comfortable with it that we just don't even realize what's happening in our midst, right? You know, if you're friends with, I'm trying to think of a famous person, but if you're friends with some kind of famous person and you rub shoulders with them every day, that's no big deal to you. They're like your best friend. You grew up with them. You know them. You're close to them. So you could hang out with like one of the most famous rock stars or movie stars or whoever, and you're just pals. And when they're around you, it's no big deal. But when they get around other people, they get around normal people, they get around the crowd, people go crazy. They want to touch them. They're screaming and hollering because because they're seeing somebody famous. And this is an extraordinary moment in their life. You know, they're like, he touched me. He looked at me. I got an autograph. And it becomes a big deal. And they're like, did you see him? Do you know who that was? It's a big deal. Sometimes, because we're in the presence of God so much, and we're actually rubbing shoulders with the anointing all the time, that it just becomes, And it's not, we don't treat it like the sacred moment, like the big deal that it ought to be. Does that make sense? And that's what happened to Moses. Moses experienced so many awesome miracles. Moses talked to God face to face. Moses went to a level with God that is extraordinary. But it became a common occurrence, and it lost its sacredness. He lost his honor for the moment. And the cynicism that grew in his life, and the contempt for the things of God. And this really is a sad last will and testament of what was a great man. I read you the story. I read you the verse in Deuteronomy. There hadn't been a prophet like Moses. He was a man who talked to God face to face. Moses was a spiritual giant. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of meekness and humility. He was a man of nobility of character. I mean, Moses was an extraordinary man. If ever a man deserved to get into Canaan, if ever a man deserved to walk in the fullness of God's promise, you would think it would be Moses. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to experience the fullness of God's promise. But he doesn't cast his pearls before swine. Those that experience the promise, those who experience the glory, will be those who honor and will be those who are seeking after it, and those who desire it, and those who have a hunger for it, and those who want it. And if you lose that, listen to me carefully. If you lose that, you're not going to experience it. You won't see it. Churches that get contemptuous and churches that get cynical and churches that get set in their ways, they're not going to go to extraordinary places with God because they don't honor that anymore and they've become settled. And I don't want us to experience what Moses experienced, right? I want to go to that place with God, but you got to want it. You've got to be hungry for it. Moses was a great man of God, but he didn't get to experience the promise. There was no physical cause of his death. Moses died too young, and Moses died before his time, but there's a great lesson here, and I want us to look at it. God told Moses to speak to the rock. But Moses didn't speak to the rock. Moses smote the rock. He struck the rock. He didn't do what God told him to do. And there's a lot of reasons for it. When you get so comfortable with the anointing, and you get so comfortable with the move of God, that you're rubbing shoulders with God all the time, you start putting yourself in a place where you think you're a little bit more than you are. And that you can start to do things the way you think that you have an idea about how it ought to be done. Moses got elevated in his thinking. A man that had always been humble and walked in humility and meekness before God lost his place with God because of his familiarity with the things of God. How do we do that? We do it when we come into church and we think we can do it this way or we can do it that way, that we can be callous with the things of God, that we can be indifferent with the things of God, rather than being more sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit and more humble to get on our face when God is moving in an extraordinary way. We almost treat it as if it's, you know, for example, we talk about God being, you know, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. We say that. The Lord is here. God's in this place today. Do you know what you're saying? Have you stopped and thought about that? God is in this place. If he physically walked in the room, our posture would change significantly. If he physically walked in the room, the way we act towards God would change significantly. The humility, the sacredness, the honor, the holiness of the moment would strike us. And yet, we come in and we experience anointing and we almost act like it's ho-hum. It should be extraordinary. When God shows up and says, "Speak to the rock," we need to honor that. We need to respect that. We need to know that we need to do it God's way. To think that, well, you know, God might want to do this, but here's how we want to do it. Here's what we think is best. I'm going to tell you something from my heart. I have always tried to follow the Lord and to do things in a service genuinely the way, and I'm not saying I've always hit that 100%, okay? But my heart has always been to do it the way God wants it done. Amen? To speak to the rock, to not just do, well, I hear you, Lord, but, you know, this is better, or, you know. I've told the story about one Sunday morning when I was sitting right over here, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want you to run around the church." Some of you may have been here that morning. Some of you were. Mike was leading the worship. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "Run around the church." And I thought, run around the church? And those were back in the days when we wore suits and ties and, you know, we were a little churchy. Amen. Y'all remember those days? And it was like, you know, I'm a senior pastor here. I've got my suit on and, you know, and I've got run around the church. That couldn't have been speak to the rock. But I was standing there thinking, I don't want to speak to the rock. I'm not going to run around the church. There's not, you know, God, I know a better way. I stood there and fought it. What will people think? Folks, I want to tell you something right now. God doesn't care about your reputation. And God doesn't care what people think. He's beyond that. And I sat there and fought it long enough to where I had to do it. And I started running. I remember getting around to the back, and I run around. And when I got over here somewhere, I remember the Lord saying, go another time. I could feel every eye in the building on me. And I'm running around the church, a jog, you know, kind of like, oh, Lord, what in the world am I doing? What are people going to think? And I went on because he said, go another time. And I got to those back doors. And something hit me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I would have you of no reputation. When I get through with you, I will strip everything away. And it broke me. And when I got around here to the front, something hit the church body and people started weeping and were broken. And God moved mightily that morning in this church. Now, I am not patting myself on the back. But I'm trying to give an example. If we saw an extraordinary move of God in our church that lasted for weeks after that. I'm trying to say that if we would reach a point and just speak to the rock and just do what God tells us to do and honor the Lord and treat the things of God as they are sacred, we can see God do extraordinary things. And what we experienced last week doesn't have to be once a month or every 6 weeks or it can become a common occurrence because that's the heart of God. How is it that we can see the glory of God move and then the following week everybody can come in here and just sit there like nothing happened? Because I've seen that happen lots. I can remember as a pastor thinking, I can't wait to get to church this Sunday. After that service last week, everybody's going to be bouncing off the walls. And I get in here and everybody's like, hmm. I'm like, what's wrong with everybody? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. We've become so comfortable with the anointing. And we've gotten so comfortable with it that we've become contemptuous of it and we don't treat it in the sacred way that we should. Is any of this making sense to you? So God said, speak to the rock. The first time he told him to smite the rock. And there's some beautiful shadows here about the crucifixion of Christ and the rock, but that's not my point to teach that this morning. That's another whole lesson. The second time he told him to speak to the rock. But I read you the verse. Listen to what Moses said. He went to the people and he said, listen to me, you bunch of rebels, you hard-headed, stubborn people. Let's call this what it was. Moses is fed up. He's tired. He's exasperated. He's going about this all wrong. And I understand that feeling. And a lot of us do. And he said, listen to me, you bunch of rebels. Do I have to bring water out of this rock again for you? Oh, Moses, I can't believe you said that. Folks, God never told Moses to bring water out of a rock. That wasn't Moses' job. All he told Moses to do was speak to the rock. Bringing the water out of the rock was God's job. And Moses is now putting himself in another place. And he's saying, am I the one that's going to have to bring water out of this rock again for you guys? Moses. And that's what Moses, it wasn't so much the smiting the rock as it was what was in his heart. Moses' heart, he got sideways. And he's like, have I got to bring, you know, how many times when we start thinking, it's my singing, it's my preaching, it's my this, or it's my that, I'm doing this. God is, you know, I'm the greatest gift to the kingdom of God. When we start thinking that way, we're a great church, we're a great this, we're good. When we start thinking that way and that contempt, we're in trouble. And we've lost that humility before God. God didn't say, get the water out of the rock, Moses. He just said, speak to it. There is a problem when we reach that level of cynicism with God and we mishandle the holy things of the Lord. Now, I believe in the move of God, and I'm so hungry to see the glory of God in the midst of His people. And I feel in my spirit that God is wanting to take us into new lands, new territories. But what the Lord was speaking to my heart this week is we will never go there until we reach that level where these things are so holy and so sacred and so pure to us that we are hungry for them. And we just don't take them for granted. Moses didn't enter the promised land, and that's kind of sad, because he was a great man and he did some extraordinary things. And it's not that God stopped loving him. God still loved him. God personally buried him. Amen? That's pretty cool. Moses was special in the eyes of God, but he lost his way. He lost his way. And I don't want us to experience that. Amen? But that the things of God, that we treat the things of God like they're awesome. I can remember in church when there would be a message, somebody might bring a message in tongues and interpretation, or there was a prophecy, and it was, "Thus saith the Lord." And God was speaking, and people would be like, "Yeah, you know, we had a message, the Lord spoke." Folks, that's God speaking. When you have a "thus saith the Lord," I mean, we ought to be on our face. We ought to be just, you know, I'm fearful that in the American church, I can't speak for the church around the world, but in the American church, we have lost the fear of the Lord. We've lost the fear of the Lord. And we just treat the things of God like it's just, and, you know, it's like we don't even believe anymore. And we wonder why the church is weak, and we wonder why the church is powerless, and we wonder why we don't see more of the glory of God. This is why. Moses couldn't experience the promise because he quit believing. He lost his way. I don't want that to happen to me, and I don't want that to happen to you. We've got a promise. Amen. I'm going to tell a personal story. I know I've already told one. I don't tell a lot of personal stories, but this one fits the moment. As a pastor, you know, I'm paid to read the Bible. I'm paid to study the Word of God, which is an honor and a privilege. I spend a lot of time in the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Studying and research for me is fun. I enjoy it. It's not a burden. But sometimes when you handle these sacred things in a way that you become a pastor, you do it every day, and you preach every day, and it just becomes kind of ho-hum. I was talking to a friend of mine not long ago who's a funeral director, and he was telling me, you know, when you do this and you do this and you do this, it just becomes, you know, you're just around it all the time. You don't think anything about it. So I was like, I don't know if I could do that. Seeing the emotions of people all the time like that. It's like, you know, you get used to it. You get kind of hardened. You get kind of calloused. This is what I'm talking about. And I know I had reached a place in my life when I first went into the ministry. I was young. I was idealistic. I was fired up. I was passionate. I believed everything I preached. There was a fire in my belly. I was like Jeremiah. I had a fire burning in my bones. I believed everything I preached. I mean, it was this, you know, it was truth for me. But after years and years and years of people complaining and people pulling on you and going through a lot of what Moses went through, I got a little bit like Moses. And I found myself just going through the motions. And I had some things happen that God used to straighten me out. The first one was a friend of mine who called me one day to spend a day with him. You know, you need accountability in your life, amen? You need somebody to speak truth to you every once in a while. And this guy, this particular friend of mine, was pretty blunt. his way of speaking truth. He just told you, you know, but you need people like that around you too. Amen. So he said, come spend the day with me. We'll have lunch together. And so I'm riding around with him and we're sitting in his truck and he had been kind of quiet, like he was thinking about saying something. And finally he blurted it out. We're riding down the road and he looks at me and says, well, I got to tell you, Glenn, I've been praying that God would light a fire under your rear end. And I'm like, pardon me? What? He said, you heard me. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't preach the way you used to preach. I don't see the same fire in you I used to see. I don't see the same zeal. You changed. And boy, I could feel my neck, you know, I could feel those hairs on. I could feel myself bowing up. I wanted to get defensive, you know. And, oh, wait a minute now. But there was something about it that struck a chord in me because I knew way down deep inside I wasn't the same. I knew it. So I just got quiet and I took it. A few weeks later, we had a guest speaker in our church and he gave an altar call and I was the first person to the altar. I knew I needed Jesus to touch me. And I remember kneeling down at that altar and I remember the Lord speaking to me and saying, Glenn, you're so busy doing the work of the Lord that you have forgotten the Lord of the work. And man, I mean, that went all over me and I was broken. Well, not long after that, God brought it to a head. We had some young people come to our church for ministry that Sunday, on a Sunday. They got here on a Saturday. And I knew they were arriving at the church on a Saturday and we met them up here. They wanted to test the sound system and they wanted to, you know, do some things and get everything ready for Sunday. So we met them up here on a Saturday. And I had walked up into the sound booth and there were other people, they were getting the sound adjusted and everything for them. Those kids got off their bus and there was 20 or 30 of them, I don't remember. And they came into this church and when they got up here, and I was up there, I was doing something. I heard a bunch of kids praying. And I looked up, what's that, you know? I looked up and all those kids were on their face around this altar crying out to God. And I just broke. And I thought, God, I remember when I was like that. I remember when I had that kind of fire in my belly. And I knew I'd lost it. And God flipped something in me. And all that was connected to this running around the church too. This was all kind of, God was working in my life. Folks, it's a good thing when God starts to strip you. Amen. And I made up my mind, this has been years and years and years ago, I am not going to go back to that dead place. I don't want to live that way. Amen. I just want to be real. And I've got a hunger for God. I don't want to turn into Moses. Right? How many of you don't want to turn into Moses? Amen. I don't want to end up like that. Let's stand together.